scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, and it is found on page 731 of your pew Bibles, if you would like to follow along with me. Listen to the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, of whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on a rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Others fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Precious Heavenly Father, as the Word of God is open and read before us, we do ask that you would move in our hearts, that we would leave here differently than when we came in, and we trust that you're working in our lives, Lord, individually and collectively as a group, and that you are moving us in the direction that you'd want us to go in. So, Father, as your Word is preached, we pray for the preacher, for boldness, courage, and love and grace, and that in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, you would illuminate our minds and hearts. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure many of you have had incredible teachers in your life, ones that you could think back that made a huge impact. People that changed your life. And some of the things that great teachers always do is they always have a great answer or solution to one of your problems, and it always seems like it's always at the right time. And you can remember that advice for the rest of your life. Well, Jesus was like that. Jesus is known as the master teacher. In fact, you'll never hear of Jesus referred to as the master preacher. It's always as the master teacher. And in the 8th chapter of Luke, we hear Jesus teaching a very important lesson. Now, Jesus, being a great teacher, understands a few things, one of which are the people that are his audience. And in the first 3 verses, we hear a little bit about his audience. We learn some things. We learn that his popularity was spreading. We know that because the Bible teaches us that he was healing many and cleansing evil spirits. I don't know. I think that if someone's walking around healing people and cleansing people of evil spirits, what's going to happen is your reputation is going to spread, and people are going to want to start flocking to you. This is all important in understanding this story. So his popularity was spreading. His reputation was preceding him. They knew the man that he was, the character that he had, that he was speaking as God himself and on behalf of God. So people are now showing up, if you notice, from all walks of life. The Bible tells us that the 12 disciples are there. The Bible tells us that some women are there. And then the Bible tells us that there are great crowds that are also there. So a variety of people and a variety of expectations. I wonder what you would teach in that moment. I wonder what you would share in that moment. But we see that Jesus has a very unique message for this crowd. We also see by studying the Gospels that when crowds like this would show up, Jesus would often teach in this way, by means of a parable or very difficult things to understand. But you see, Jesus was the master teacher, friends. He was the master teacher, so he uses a parable. He doesn't just come out and say what he wants to say. He tells a parable, a story. And Jesus, being a great teacher, uses simple things to connect with his audience. And in this passage, he uses agriculture, things that they all understand. In this church, we all understand agriculture, but in some parts of the United States, this may be lost on some. But again, Jesus is the master teacher, so he uses things like sowers and seeds and plants because this was their life. Everybody could connect to this. And here he talks about seeds. And he says, listen, there's a sower that goes out. It's time to plant. And you're taking the seed, and you know as well as I know, there are only so many things that could happen when you're sowing seed. And he names them. There are four. Some will fall along the path. Some will fall upon the rocks. Some will fall upon the weeds. And others will land in the fertile soil. It reminds me of when I was candidating here. The church was full. In fact, that weekend there was lots of people downstairs gathered. They wanted to meet myself and the family. There was a buzz. But I bet if I can reach into your minds and hearts individually, almost everyone would sort of have a different reason for wanting to meet me and my family. Not that that's bad. It just is what it is. And this is sort of the same scenario. Here comes the great teacher. Here comes Jesus, who's been healing people. We need to go listen to him. So you can imagine yourself there in that setting with the swarms of people going to hear what Jesus has to say. So what does he say? He tells them a parable about a farmer. Why does he do this? For a simple reason. He knows that there are a variety of expectations, and he is here to separate, friends. He is here to separate the sincere from the superficial. He wants to know who truly wants to follow him versus there for the buzz. So, four things could happen when we take that seed and sow it. And this morning, we're going to look at two. The first thing we learn is that some seed, in verse 5, falls upon the hardened soil. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. So these fields were separated by paths. There weren't streets like today. So you had field on top of field, and what separated them were the paths. And you know as well as I know, if we continue to walk on the same path over time, over many years, it becomes almost like concrete. And Jesus says there are some people out there that when they hear the word, when they're exposed to the sowing of the seed, it does nothing to them. It does not penetrate. It's like falling on concrete. And friends, this is the group that's unregenerate. This is the group that does not know Christ. And it doesn't matter to me what word you want to use. They're not born again. They're not saved. It doesn't matter. They don't know Christ. The seed does nothing to their hearts. It's like water off of a duck's back. And this is the very real truth that you and I must face even today when we wonder, why can I share Christ with my best friend or my sister-in-law or my brother or fill in the blank, and it never penetrates them? Jesus is answering it right here. And it's because they have hard hearts. The word does not penetrate. And this is the reality of the first group. Just a few moments ago, I mentioned that Jesus, when he was around large crowds with these kind of expectations, he always had hard sayings for them because Jesus was always dividing the sincere from the superficial. In fact, another great time when Jesus did this was in the feeding of the 5,000, listed in all four Gospels. Could you imagine the buzz? 5,000? That's not counting the women and children. If we did that out front here, could you imagine what this place would look like next week? We'd have to take the wall down. Again, Jesus does the same. Listen, John chapter 5, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus looks at them and says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father God has set his seal." He's separating again, friends. He's saying, I see you're all here, but you're here because I filled your tummy. It's not because you truly are seeking me. In fact, if you go on and read later on in that chapter in John, everybody leaves Jesus except his disciples. And he has to have an intimate conversation with them. And he asks, are you going to leave me too? This is Jesus's modus operandi, friends. He's separating. He wants to know if you're sincere when you follow after him. And I realize people may go to church. They may go to church their whole life. But here's what's interesting. We don't know why you're in church. We don't know the motives of the person being in church. Just because you walk into a building, it doesn't mean you know Christ. All of the preaching, all of the singing, the donating, we don't know the motives behind those things. And the very reality is, this exists in today as it did in Jesus' time. So if you're here and you don't know Christ, today is the day of your salvation. Don't let the word penetrate your heart and then just walk out of here and forget it. You have to embrace him and let it change you. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians. Paul's teaching here in 2 Corinthians. He says this, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. What powerful words. Paul is saying that there's a veil over people's eyes. They can't see the truth. This gospel is veiled from them. But when we come to know Christ, that veil comes down. And that's some of your stories, isn't it? You see the world in a whole different way, a new light, if you will. That's because the word penetrated your heart and it changed you. So that's the story of the first seed. The next seed in verse 6, Jesus teaches us that some seed fell upon the rocky places and other seed fell. And as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture or no roots. This is about the quick results, friends. This rock is standing and the seed goes on top and immediately wants to get its roots in the ground. But it doesn't last long. As soon as it's up, it dies. That's like some of our faith, some of your friends' faith, the ones that really make you scratch your head, the ones that were on fire for the Lord, the ones that were attending every Bible study for a period, the ones that never missed church for a period, and then they're gone. What happened? Where are they? How could they make this profession of faith and be so into the faith and then disappear. Friends, our answer is right here in the parable of the sower. They were the seed that fell upon the rock. And as quickly as they were springing up, they moved along. If you remember our Psalm 1, one of the things that they talked about was the righteous man being planted like a tree. Remember that? Firmly in the ground. What a contrast between this seed. This seed is something that springs up and is gone versus the righteous man that has roots that go deep into the ground. You can't push a redwood down, can you? Because of the roots. I've told you before that the church directory is something that's extremely painful. You get in and you look and you say, where'd so-and-so go? They're not attending anywhere. They're not here. They're nowhere. It's like they've walked away from the faith. It's because of this, friends. It's the seed that falls on the rocky soil. This is about having a superficial heart. And I found that there's something in common with a lot of these folks. And that is they come to Jesus expecting things from him. They want Jesus to give them a new car. They want Jesus to give them a better job. And you fill in the blank. And when Jesus doesn't deliver those things, they're gone. But friends, that's the wrong motive. We don't come to Jesus expecting him to give us things. And a lot of folks do. Jesus wants us to come to him, and he demands our life. We have it flip-flopped. And see, what Jesus is doing here, he's going beneath the surface. He's looking at the heart, at the motives. And in this big crowd, he's starting to separate people. And in Psalm 95, we hear the same idea. Listen to the scripture. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, listen what the Bible says. Do not harden your hearts as in the day of Massah in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and they said they were people who err in their heart and they did not know my ways. What's the point? The point is this was the sin of Israel as a nation. What does the Bible say? What was the root problem? Their hearts. The Bible says, don't harden your hearts. I wonder if you have a hard heart this morning. I wonder if this sermon is penetrating your mind and heart and you're contemplating your own life. Not your friends, not the people sitting in front of you or behind you, but your own heart. This was Israel's problem. They had hard hearts. And the Bible says, when you hear the word, don't be like Israel. Don't harden your hearts. So friends, the very first things we can learn from this, from the great teacher, is this. Are you sincere in your faith? Are you sincere in your faith, or are you superficial? Do you genuinely care about walking after the Lord? Is that your motives? I can't answer that. Only Jesus and yourself can answer that. Let's pray. Father, this is a hard lesson for us. The sower is sowing. The word of God is being preached. But God, may that seed not fall upon the hard soil or the rocky soil. Father, let it continue to grow deep into our hearts so that as we'll see next week, it goes into the fertile soil, changes our lives, and produces fruit. For we ask this in your name, trusting that you are doing something in our hearts now. Amen.